when you do the right things and you stay true to the integrity of your company and looking after your team members and doing what's best for them, I'm just one of those people that thinks that profitability and business success comes. Maybe that's naive of me to think. Maybe that's me just buying into the whole karma philosophy, but it seems to work.
Welcome to the Weekly Leadership Experience, a place for leaders to get inspired, be challenged, and grow. I am your host, Rashad Oberlander. Let's get started. Today's episode of the Weekly Leadership Experience is brought to you by my 7-day Leadership Growth Challenge. It's a free challenge that I've created, and it's delivered by email over the course of 7 days. I've created 7 compelling questions to challenge various aspects of your leadership, the way you lead, and why you lead. Go to rashadoberlander.com and scroll down until you find the 7-day leadership challenge, or look for the link in the show notes. And now, on with the show. Hello, leaders, and welcome to this week's show. Today, I am joined by Charlie Bales, founder and CEO at CB Supplements, VP of Distribution and Logistics, as well as VP of Human Resources for ABC Fine Wine and Spirits. ABC Fine Wine and Spirits is a family business with 4 generations of success over the course of more than 80 years. Charlie joins me today to talk about how he and the company have been able to maintain a people-first focus even through the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, and what is the mindset that is required to do so. Charlie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Rashad. I appreciate it.
Oh, man, it's my pleasure to have you. I really appreciate you being here and spending the time with me.
Looking forward to it.
So in your introduction, I mentioned, you're part of the family business. It's been around for a long time, around since 1936. Tell us, how did you get involved and what is it like being part of the family business?
Yeah, it's something that has always been a part of my upbringing, really. It was never pushed upon me, like joining the family business, that is. I would say that there was certainly encouragement, but it was never like, hey, you're gonna do this and like you have no choice. So, a lot of credit goes to my dad and grandfather and just some of the older generations that, they just kind of let people who want to be in the business be in the business. It's certainly, but again, like I said, it's certainly encouraged. And once you're in the business, you do have a duty and an obligation to protect the family asset. And because there's a lot of families that are living off the success of the company. So I got involved at a really young age. I mean, I was the kid, taking a putter out of my dad's office and putting golf balls down the carpet hallways when I was like 5. But I was actually working for the business in the summers when I was in high school. I would work in the warehouse. And then once I was of age, or at least close enough to it, I could work in the retail stores in the summers of college.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's got to be nice to grow up around family and around the family business. And it's, kind of a cool experience. Now, of course, a lot has changed since the 1930s, but what have you noticed the most over the last 10 years since you've been with the business?
Well, social media has changed everything. It's just this hyper connectivity that we all share, and just the fast pace of the internet and change, and really what COVID's done is just sped up what a lot of companies were already working on, which was home delivery and just meeting the customer where they wanted to be. We're doing more volume in less stores. It's just like when I started and officially, about 2010, let's call it, we had almost 150 stores. We're down to 123 now. Which has been intentional because we've been closing smaller stores and opening up bigger stores so that we can have more products to offer the guest, bigger selection. We have more amenities to offer our team members in a bigger store. it's a better working environment. There's just so much more that we can do to help the team member and the guest. And that's really been a focus over the past 10 years. And then as this, you know, I don't know what to call it, but just the modernization of delivery over the past few years and how you either get there or you don't. And we were very fortunate to get there quickly and something we were already working on. But that's the biggest I've seen, some of the biggest changes. Smaller stores becoming bigger stores, the number of stores decreasing, but the volume going up, better amenities for the team members and our guests, and then just this monster of delivery that is apparent now.
Mm-hmm. And that's a huge, huge challenge a lot of companies have had to face. So it's neat that you've been able to get there so quickly despite the challenges. Just touching quickly on, you know, ABC as a company has had some incredible success over the past 85 years. What do you suppose has been the key ingredient in that?
A privately held company that's allowed to do things that a public company just can't. You know, we don't live quarter to quarter. We've got, we're set up very similar to a public company in that we do have an outside board of investors, and we've got family members on our board as well. There's two families that own the company. So you've got, you know, a couple of family members from each family and then an outside board that really controls the direction of the board. That board has allowed the company to rebuild and take a couple of years of poor profits to invest in the future, where public companies, it's not in the DNA of Wall Street to have negative earnings, even for a quarter, where we had negative earnings for 4 years leading up to COVID because we were just investing and investing and investing and really putting investing into our people and into our processes over, you know, profit. And that's just something that is extremely difficult to convince a board of directors that is really just stockholders that bought, you know, stock of the company that's publicly traded. I don't want to say they don't care, because I'm putting words into the mouths of a company that I don't know what the culture is. So I can only speak for us, but just the most simple answer, you know, to your question is we have the ability to invest in our people and put our people first instead of, you know, the almighty dollar of Wall Street. And that's something that allows us as a company to do things that other companies can't.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is definitely true. I mean, when you're privately held, you got certain freedoms, I guess, that you don't have when you're answering to, you know, a stockholder and the board of directors in that same way. Now that kind of comes to the crux of the conversation, as you pointed out putting people over profit and investing in your people, which I'd like to come back to in just a moment. But before I ask you more about your people focus, what did you find most challenging at the start of the COVID-19 pandemic?
Really just the uncertainty and the unknown. We're a company that likes to have a 3 or 4 or even a 5-year strategic vision and a set of strategic goals. I think that's another offshoot of COVID, that looking 5 years in the future, good luck. I mean, good luck trying to predict the future that far out. We're really just looking 1, 2, maybe 3 years. But we were able to have that vision, you know, prior to COVID. And then when it hit, it's like, what does tomorrow look like? So that was really the hardest part, that we're a company that likes a lot of certainty and likes to plan. And you just couldn't really do that in the beginning. We were all just living day to day and just, all right, what's going to change? What do we need to do now? But again, that was kind of easy for us because our board and our executive leadership team just accepted that challenge and just accepted that, all right, we don't know what we're going to do, but we've got our guiding principles. We've got our core values. We've got our strategic goals, and that will lead all of our decisions forward.
Yeah. I mean, it was really kind of like living day to day, like you said, right? Like you know, you want to be planning so many years out, but you know, things were changing on a daily basis. And in some cases continue to do so. So it can be challenging for sure. Coming back to your focus on people over profit, what are some of the things that you did at the start of the pandemic and kind of continue to do, keeping your people in mind first?
Yeah. I'll tell you, one of the first things we did is we cut store hours. And this was after we were already dubbed an essential business. So that's, you know, pretty much the government telling you to stay open, which is funny in and of itself, but different conversation. And I could explain why we're essential, but, we cut our store hours. I mean, and when you cut store hours, you lose money typically because you are telling, you're turning people away. And why did we do that? Because we wanted to protect our team members. We needed time to clean our stores. We needed time to get ready for the next day. We wanted our team members to go home as opposed to working, you know, late at night and then putting the store back together for hours into the wee hours of the morning and then coming back the next day to do it. You know, what kind of quality of life is that? So one of the first things we did was cut our store hours to a single shift. So there was a ton of crossover between team members and carryover. I would say that's the most impactful thing that we did. Yes, we did everything else that you can think of. We had PPE before I knew what that acronym even stood for. You know, we created those shields that protect the cashiers from the shopping and paying customer before anybody knew what those were, because we have our own maintenance department and we made them ourselves before we waited on a supplier to come out with one. So we did all of that, but just the main thing we did was cut store hours.
Mm. Yeah. Which with a business such as yours, I can imagine that was a big decision, and, you know, could potentially have had a negative impact, I guess, but, you know, you've talked about the positive impact and the growth that it still has brought you. What do you credit that to?
Yeah, I think that if you just do the right thing, you know, another offshoot of cutting store hours was that we closed our doors Easter Sunday last year. And typically we are closed 2 days of the year, Thanksgiving Day and Christmas Day. And now because of COVID, we're closed the third day. We closed for Easter again this year. So, I mean, we're just, if we could be like Chick-fil-A and close every Sunday, I think we would. I would love to do that because, you know, I think that when you do the right things and you stay true to the integrity of your company and looking after your team members and doing what's best for them, I'm just one of those people that thinks that profitability and business success comes. You know, maybe that's naive of me to think, maybe that's me just buying into the whole karma philosophy, but it seems to work. It really does, because we do a lot of stuff for our team members. The conversation in our boardroom and in our executive committee meetings, it's all about the team members. It's not about the guests. It's not about trying to beat our competition. We're playing the infinite game of trying to protect our team members. And we've been in business for 85, almost 86 years. So maybe it's not just this, you know, corny, do the right thing and the profits will come. I truly believe that. And I think that we're a testament of that being an actual possibility for businesses.
For sure. Well, it seems to me that businesses that are built on the foundation of doing the right thing and taking care of their people do tend to last the test of time. And I think that there's a number of businesses out there that you could look at that attest to that. And there's also, you know, some very high profile individuals such as Simon Sinek and Richard Branson that would agree with what you're saying as far as taking care of your people, and taking care of your people leads to the success of the business because the people at the end of the day are taking care of the customers. Now, as far as your focus on your people first and doing the right thing, like, is that something that you grew up with? Is it something you developed over time, or how did you come to that kind of mindset?
Yeah, it's something that I think I've been exposed to my whole life. I give my parents a ton of credit that they raised my sisters and I. They really raised us the right way. They just ingrained in us. I have heard my dad say probably a million times, just do the right thing. You know, and I was the kid that I never really got in trouble as a kid. I remember one of the worst days that I felt was I got thrown out of a Little League game, which is hysterical. But I'm a pretty competitive dude, and that's a funny story. But when I came home, like, there was no yelling, there was no screaming. My dad just said, you know, I'm not upset with you. I'm just really disappointed because you didn't treat the umpire with respect and you didn't do the right thing. And I was like, oh gosh, can't you just yell at me or like just tell me I'm terrible? But no, I was just disappointed. So, you know, it's things like that. That was my upbringing. And then it's the same thing working for your dad and in the family business. I don't think he's ever yelled at me. And some of the stupid mistakes that I've made over the years, he's just kind of said, all right, let's decompress and talk about this. You know, did you do the right thing? Well, I guess not. And then just that learning process. So there's a ton of credit there. And if I haven't heard him in particular say, just do the right thing, and now it's become part of my everyday speak. And now that I have three little kids, they're 8, 6, and 2. So I guess they're not too little, but our house is nuts. All of that rings very, it hits at home big time, especially with my 8-year-old girl and my 6-year-old boy, Finn, and Vivian's the girl. Cause they're kids know right from wrong. And heck, they know right from wrong way before they're eight years old and 6 years old. So just teaching them to do the right thing and just, you know, too much is given, much is expected. That's something that I think that we take very seriously in my family, in our business. You know, it's an honor and a privilege to have a very successful family business. And it's our duty to protect those who protect our company. And that's all of our team members. So, I mean, that's been ingrained in me. Maybe I've drank the Kool-Aid, but I couldn't even remember when I drank the Kool-Aid because it's just been a part of my vocabulary for so many years now.
Yeah, which is great. And I love that the family kind of just embodies that mentality. You know, however, I feel like in business, there's often so many competing priorities. And, you know, although you're privately held, you know, and don't have certain, you know, demands that a public company would, like there's priorities, there's the need to make money, there's a whole bunch of different things that would come into play in terms of, you know, the executive decision. So how do you always maintain your focus on people over profit, treating people with respect and doing the right thing?
Radical transparency, which is a term that I've stolen from Ray Dalio, which is a great book, Principles. It's a thick book, holy smokes, but there are so many good things out of that. And, you know, he runs his wealth management firm. I can't think of the name, but radical transparency is one of his guiding beliefs. And it's certainly one at ABC too, one that has come a long way in the past 5-10 years, is that, you know, if we have to make that tough decision, if we have to let somebody go or you know, close a store or just make an unpopular decision, and one that that somebody could look at and go, well, you're just full of it. You're not taking care of your people. Once we explain the details behind it, I've not once in my career been challenged past that, because I think that people understand that business has to make money in order to keep the doors open, and that not every day is rainbows and unicorns, and there are going to be hard decisions. That's why management is hard. However, when you are just radically transparent with your team and you explain to them, here's why we have to do it, here's the numbers. You know, if you were in my seat, what would you do? And we ask that question. We ask that question to a lot of frontline team members that, hey, here's the way we see it. Before we make this, you know, life-changing decision, what do you think? So I think there's a right way and a wrong way to do that. There's a lot of decisions made in boardrooms that have never, you know, made it to the front lines. The decision has made it, but the reasoning behind the decision has never made it. And people tend to make up their own, you know, assumptions once that happens. And we try to do everything we can. Somebody wants to know the answer or something, walk into my office and I'm going to tell you, or I'm going to come to your store and tell you. And, you know, that's just something that we value as a culture, that is that, you know, radical transparency. So that way people can, you know, we want to live a day in their shoes and we want them to live a day in ours, because there's really no difference. We're all working for the same company and trying to take care of each other.
Yeah. Wow. Radical transparency. That's a really powerful thought. And I think a lot of people should kind of hang on to that one. Kind of looking at this experience of the last, kind of 15 months or so since early last year to now in the COVID pandemic, focusing on people over profit, like what have been the key one or two lessons that this experience has taught you?
Yeah, that's a really good question. The first thing that pops into my head is just staying true to your core values, you know, to who you are. And we are a company that values our team members. You know, our mission statement is that we, you know, make everyday celebrations better for our team members and guests. And team members is in front of guests, and we take care of them first. That's for a reason. And we just stay true to that. When you have uncertain times and you have no clue what's going to happen, you just stay true to that and you just don't waver. So, you know, I think that that's one thing that I've really seen and seen it pay off in a really good way is just stay true to your values. You know, don't waver from them. So that's the first one. And then the second one is just be patient. Something that my dad's probably told me 1,000 times, just be patient. And you know, it's things are going to be okay for the most part. You know, as long as we do what's right, we stick together, we look out for each other, things usually tend out to be okay. You know, there's going to be some horrible things that happen. And COVID certainly hit our family, our ABC family, super hard as well. You know, and it's not been fun some of those days, but you know, we just stay patient, you know, look for the positive in things, stay true to our values. And it's worked out for us for the most part. And you know, I try to even implement those two things that I've said, the two biggest lessons, staying true to the values and just being patient, into my personal life too. I mean, raising kids in the middle of a pandemic is absolutely insane. But if, like I said, we just stay true to who we are, just trying to do the right thing, just being patient. Things have been really good, you know, just looking back on it. I wish I would have felt that way, you know, 12 months ago. But looking back at what hindsight's always 2020. So definitely two good values on that.
Or less. Yeah, definitely. I love that you have the, like, I learned this and it's applying to the rest of my life kind of story too, which is really cool. I love that whole idea and that we can learn something about life or business from different circumstances. So appreciate that. If there was going to be one thing you want people to remember, Charlie, about people over profit, what would that be?
Golly, you're just full of really good questions. really tough questions, but you know, I think that we're all not that different, you know, and just try to put yourself in someone else's shoes. And that really goes both ways. Any executive, go work with the front line, go get feedback from them, go be in their shoes. And then it gives them an opportunity to be in your shoes. And so it's just, we're all trying to do the same thing. We're all on the same team. We're all in this together. And, you know, we live in such a me, selfish world. And it's even instilled in us with the individualistic culture that America just has, and that the two political sides absolutely demonize each other. We just live in such this segregated world. But if you can try to bring it back towards the middle and just see that we're all not that different, we all put our pants on the same way, that can really pay dividends. And that's something that we try to hit home every day in what we're doing with ABC. We're all on the same team. We're all rowing the boat in the same direction. And when you do that, great things tend to happen. You know, go try to row the boat the opposite direction of the person right next to you. You're not going to go anywhere. And it's a simple analogy, but like, it's pretty powerful too. And just recognizing that we're all not that different. I think that that's a huge lesson.
Yeah. Boy, if people remembered that more often and put aside, you know, the kind of extraneous differences, like we're all people.
Right. Very powerful. I do a lot for ABC, but one of my main jobs, I oversee human resources. So we are doing hundreds of thousands of coaching conversations with team members every year. And if I've learned anything over the thousands of hours of spending time in those, you know, employee relations issues, it's that usually the truth is found in the middle. And the best answer is in the middle, when the two sides meet in the middle. And if people would just remember that, you know, that swallow your pride a little bit and realize that you're probably half right, but that means the other side's half right. Well, guess what? Everybody wins. If you meet there, it's so simple.
Simple, but not easy.
Right.
But I love that. That is something for everyone to work towards for sure. Last couple of questions for you, Charlie. What is one thing you know about life or leadership that you wish everyone knew?
It's okay to ask for help. I kind of just tagging on to the last answer, that leadership is not on the individual, yet we empower the individual so much, and we think that asking for help is a weakness. And you know, I've been guilty of that as well in my upbringing. That you want to be the strong guy that does everything themselves. It's so wrong. It's a recipe for disaster. It's a recipe for burnout and just self-explosion. And like, just ask for help. There are people that have been there and done that want to help you. And I wish that they taught that in master's programs, which I have my master's program, and they didn't really teach a ton about asking for help. We talked about teamwork. We talked about collaboration. But at no point did we talk about it's okay to go to the boss and say, hey, you know what? I need help. And I don't know how to do this, but I want to learn. That's a really good quality.
Yeah, that is definitely a kind of looked down upon thing. And a lot of times, I mean, there's plenty of businesses that don't have that culture where asking for help is actually encouraged. But it's definitely something that I think generally the business world needs to continue to work on too.
Agreed.
Last question for you. When it's all said and done, what three words do you want used to describe your life?
Well, one of the first words that comes to mind is just genuine. That, you know, I'm a genuine person. I'm not trying to lie to people. I'm not trying to do things the wrong way. I'm just a genuine dude. I'm wildly in love with my amazing wife and have three awesome kids. So I think another word would just be family in there. I mean, I love to say husband. I love to say dad, but then I'm going to run out of words. So we'll just combine them and call it family. There's a powerful, there's a powerful lesson in that family aspect, that I would be nothing without the love and support of my wife at my house, and that stable household makes me a better executive at work. It makes me a better father, which gets back to asking for help and not being an individual leader and, you know, being a part of a team. And I think that the last word would be something like inspire, that like we only get one chance at this life. There are so many things to that if you wanted to get sucked into that, that could take you down. But just don't, you know, wake up every day, be inspired, inspire yourself. You know, you're not going to inspire anybody on the planet unless you inspire yourself. You're not going to inspire your 8-year-old little girl unless you're not inspiring yourself. You're not going to inspire those to change the world or to take their health seriously or to invest in themselves if you're not doing it. So, I mean, that's something that I have very powerful self-talk every day that like, am I inspiring myself right now? Because if I'm not, why would I inspire anybody else? So let's go with those, the genuine family and inspire.
Those are cool. And I know that the question puts you kind of on the spot, but that is, those are some very thoughtful answers and I love it. Very cool. Awesome. Well, Charlie, we're at the end of our time here, but before we wrap up, what would you like people to do to learn more about what you're up to, connect with you, and maybe learn about what's going on?
Yeah. So you can reach out to me on LinkedIn. Just search my name, Charlie Bales. You'll find me. Somewhat active on Instagram. It's CE Bales, the E is for Edward, my middle name. And I love to hear from people. You know, I'm just a genuine guy who likes to talk to people and likes to inspire others. I mean, really, that's my life motto. That's funny I use those words when you put me on spot. But my life motto is just to inspire others to inspire themselves. So, you know, I am that crazy person who wants to make the world a better place any way I can. So if you want to reach out to me any way I can help, I'd love to do it. Thank you so much for having me on the show, Rashad.
It's an absolute pleasure, Charlie. And thank you for sharing and for connecting with me. This has been a really good conversation. So I look forward to everyone listening to this. You can check out the show notes at rashadobalander.com. Look forward to speaking with you next week. Stay awesome.
If you've enjoyed what you've heard today, would you head over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe, leave me a rating, leave me a review, and share this with a friend. It spreads the word and helps the podcast grow. You can also find me on social media at R.E. Oberlander. Until next time, stay awesome.